Into things because I heard y'all got out a little late.
Yes.
So, you know, Baptists are long-winded. That's not true, right? We're never long-winded. And I'll try to make up the time on the other end. At least you got the handout, so worst case, you can read for yourself. My name is Chris Swataco, and I lead two awesome ministries. One is called From His Hands, which is my speaking, and one is called the Singles Network. And I have the honor of traveling all over the U.S. trying to help pastors and leaders learn more about singles ministry, but also about how to grow our churches. So, with that, stand up. Everybody remembers the first time that maybe they came to school with their little kid, high school, your first day at your job, first day maybe at the church, or maybe you don't. It's a blur. I don't know. What I want you to do is I want you to find at least one person that has the same interest that you have on one arm, and you know the colors and what they represent, and has the same interest on the other arm, but we'll do it at different times. And if you have it the same, you're really fortunate. Introduce yourself. Introduce your first name is good. And I want you to share, if you remember, what that experience was like, being the first person there, the first time, you know, your first time experience. So go. Keep looking. What you got? What color you got? Green? Who's got green? Who's got green? How many of you go?
I'm not sure.
Being the low one on the totem pole. I don't know if I had a locker that got toilet paper because, you know, I was afraid somebody was going to dump me in the toilet, you know. Does anybody have any memories of being the first time, your first experience?
Mine was actually here at church. So I just kind of ended a relationship, and I was really active in my old church and left. And so going from a kind of smaller church to a big church and stepping into where there's lots and lots of people that you know no one, and I went to one place and was like, oh, no, no, no. The second place I went to, they're like, hey, we all sit together in church. And I was like, yes, I'm staying.
Yes.
And it was just, I got right in.
Yes. Yes. It's scary. I mean, the reality is it's scary for everybody. I don't care. Even if you're like my personality, you think there would be no problem for me, right? Mm-hmm. But even I get intimidated. I get a little scared. I mean, the reality is like, you know, in all of our Sunday school classes, we struggle with, we may, you know, a big mega church may be able to reach them. Big mega church may be able to bring them in the door. But then again, once you have them, what do you do with them? And then some of them don't come back, and we don't know why. And sometimes it's because of what you experience right there. Well, I got to show you a video that I just found this week. I don't know if y'all have seen this on Facebook, but I've seen it now like 10 times, and I'm still...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh, I'm laughing. Okay, let's see if I can do it right.
He says, I am late for church. I'm just going to speak this parking spot into existence right now. Just name it and claim it, Jesus. For heaven's sakes, use the crosswalk. Okay, I have the fruit of the Spirit, but y'all need to move. She's going to wear that in the bounce your eyes, bounce your eyes. Jesus, give me a miracle. I need a ram in the thicket. Love this church. It's just like, come as you are. You know, it's like, how do I look, though? Does the jacket go with the shirt? Oh, good Lord. Guests, single parents. Expected mother who doesn't have a parking spot these days. I have been here 27 years. I deserve respect. Oh yeah, go ahead, take my parking spot. She probably needs Jesus more than me. Use your mirror. How long does it take to back out of a... Jesus, give me strength. This is so honestly, there better be coffee. There better be coffee. Y'all are gonna make me park in a handicap spot.
Oh look, there go the homeschoolers.
I swear if somebody took the last jelly donut, I will. Don't make me get out of the
ministry team?
Not today, okay? Oh, you're gonna drive a Lexus? Okay, I know where your treasure's at. Not in heaven. Serious? What? Putting others in front of yourself, though. This doesn't apply to me. I mean, for heaven's sakes, move out of the roof. Look at this truck. Where are you going? A church or a talk rally? Finally found a parking spot 15 minutes late. Oh, it is way too cold out here, but you better bring a shuttle or I will watch this service on.
Oh my gosh, is that not funny? Okay.
He says, I am late for church.
I gotta stop this exit.
I took homeschool class.
Okay, thank you. Woo, I hope I can get it back. Is that not the funniest thing in the world? But isn't it like some of us are the same way, right? I mean, we make fun of him. We think, oh, that's some other people. But there's a little bit of all of us in that guy, whatever his name is. And he's so feminine, though. And it's so funny because he's a bounce your eyes. But I've seen him in other videos, and he's not feminine. So I think he's just playing that character or whatever. But he's really a talented actor. And so I saw that, and I said it applied so much. Because there are three reasons why people don't come back to church. And I'm going to name them for you. There's probably many more, but I'm going to give you three. One of the reasons they don't come back to church is because they came like this, looking for something. Every time you turn around, they need money. Every time you turn around, they need help. Every time you turn around, and they go from church to church to church. There's a little pattern of them. When my mom used to live, they used to keep a list in all the churches. Because the Smiths were there at your church. Oh, they were at my church last week. Yeah, their mom's, their daddy had cancer at ours. Oh, the mama had cancer, yours? I mean, there was always something. But people won't come back because we got tired of handing out. We were on to them, and we want to help people, and we care about them, but some are kind of abuse the situation. Another reason they don't come back is, well, it's just not where God wants them. Ain't nothing you've done. It's just not where they're called. It doesn't offend me if people don't come back because God is saying, this is just not the place for me. But a third reason they don't come back, heaven... Oh, heaven help us. It's because we didn't do our part. We didn't follow up with them. We weren't kind to them. We were in our little holy huddle. Y'all know the holy huddles, right? Look at them on Sunday morning. You're probably in some of them. You get right with your little friends, and you're inclusive. When you're turned inwards, you're not at all letting anybody from the outside come in. And so I see a lot of well-meaning churches that say we're the friendliest church in the world, but yet when you walk in, you see little clusters of friends, and then I'm by myself. As a single adult, I'm always by myself. Everywhere I go, I'm by myself. And so I watch and see how people reach out to me. They'll reach out to the little family with the little children because you got to get the kids in Sunday school. But when I'm by myself, who reaches out to me? And what about the ones that may visit your Sunday school class? Some are single, legally single, but they've come by themselves. Their spouse isn't with them. Or maybe they've come with their spouse and there's been an issue, whatever. How do you relate to them? How are you welcoming them? How are you loving on them? How are you caring about them? Or are you acting like this guy? I've been in this church 27 years. I need a parking spot, you know? Do you feel entitled? That makes a difference in how people feel and how well they feel loved and how well they feel like they belong to your Sunday school class. Just like our fun little icebreaker, it's important that as quickly as we're able, we find ways to connect with people. The quicker you connect, the likelihood they're going to come back. We'll come back because we have something in common, right? The more I find out about you, you guys already found out something about each other. You probably don't even know each other. Not all of you, right? It's a big church. And so by automatically, you found out, wow, I like computers. Wow, I like sports. That was the first connection. Now you have that one little connection. You introduced yourselves, I hope you did, right? And then you shared a little bit. So here's some just, you know, basic places that we start off. Obviously, common places of connection that you can connect. You know, we connect in our gyms. We connect in our neighborhoods. We connect it, obviously, at church. We connect it at our place of employment. Those are easy. We start with simple conversations, simple things of, hello, how you doing? My name is whatever. And not be afraid. For some reason, people are so afraid to ask somebody their name in church. They're so afraid to say, hey, I don't believe I know you. What's your name?
Megan.
Hey, Megan. And they're so afraid Megan's going to go, Chris, I met you last week. I'm like, I guess you weren't memorable. No, I mean, like they're so afraid for that rejection that somebody's going to say that. I go, so what? You know how many people go here? I'm out of danger, for God. I mean, unless you did something to me, you know. And then, like, I just flew in. I actually live in North Carolina, but I was in Orlando. I was in Fort Lauderdale. Because last week, I was on the K-Love Music Cruise. I was one of the speakers on that, and we have a singles division. Oh my gosh, it was so much fun. But I went to a leadership meeting last night, and this girl walks up to me, and she goes, hey. Hey. Yeah, you look good. Yeah, you look good, too. And she goes, you don't remember me, do you? I said, not nothing. I have nothing on you, honey. I have no idea. I said, did you do something different to your hair? She goes, yeah. I go, that's it. Still don't have no idea who she is, right? Who cares? Just say, you know what? I think I forgot your name. Or what's your name again? Or you look familiar. Who cares? Because the point is we want to connect with them. We want to find something in common. We want something to begin the conversation so that we can get to the conversation of, tell me more about your life. Let me see if we have something in common, or I can connect you with someone else who has something in common, or how did you like our Sunday school class? We'd like you to come back to our LBS, or, oh, you've got kids? I've got kids. You want to find out information about them. So who cares if you've forgotten their name? But so many people are afraid to do that. Proverbs 2:22 says, rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. Right? He makes us all. So nobody's better than you. Nobody's less than you. You should not feel uncomfortable going up to someone and saying, hey, it's nice to meet you. How'd you find out about our church? And see the answer they have. As we find more things in common, the higher the chances that we stay connected. The same is in our ministries, our church, our LBS. The more folks we're connected to within the church, the less likely we are to disconnect. This is what I show people in our hands. The more places you're connected, if one of them disconnects, you're still connected to the other. So one of my goals in my church is I want to get you connected to as many places in our church as possible. Because if they only connect in our Sunday school class, and then something happens, you get your feelings hurt, you date somebody, you break up, you don't like the way that person was teaching, somebody said something you didn't like, and you leave, you don't come back at all. But if I can get you plugged into being a greeter, working in the children's department, working in the food department, and something happens in our LBS, the chances are you're still connected to the whole church. So how am I going to get you connected to many places unless I get to know you? So I want to do something real quick. I need you to all stand back up. Come over here. Come over right at this little spot. We're going to do a little experiment in this. So I want you to get real close. Get real close. Get real, like right here. I want to touch it. Come here, right here. Come here. You get real close. Get over here. Get real close. 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 Okay, are you real close? You get over here. I think nobody got a germ. Come on. Okay, now. I want you to take your right arm and put it up in the air. And I want you to find somebody that's got the same color as you and take the... I told you to take it off and put it on their shoulder. The same color as you, put your right hand on their shoulder.
I don't see anything.
Green, any green?
Yellow or black?
Yellow. Okay, there you go. Now, take your left hand, and do the same thing. Just put it somewhere, honey. Just put it somewhere. For your left hand. Okay? Stretch. Okay, now. Take your left hand. Find somebody. You got to stretch. You got to way over. He's white. Okay. I don't want to see your hands up in the air. Okay. Now take your right leg that will match your right arm and try to touch somebody else's leg with that.
Right leg
that matches your right arm. Now try to touch them. Somebody has the same color.
Yeah.
You're not even playing. Okay, and then reach right here. Okay, there we go. Now, here's a cool thing. I want you to release from one place. Just stop touching one place. Okay, you're still connected, right?
Mm-hmm.
Point proven. You can sit down. Now, some of you were saying that's the closest I've had to a date in a long time.
Was it good for you?
Yeah. Was it good for you? That's a cute look. You just imagine 100 people doing that. It's crazy. I call it the safe twister. But the point is that the more places we're connected, you see that you just disconnected from one, and then, but yet you're still connected. And so what I try to challenge people in Sunday school and in your LBS is that we're not really good at connecting them to more than one place. We get to know the surface. We get to know a little bit about them, but that's all we know. And how in the world can we help them plug in anywhere else? Because when they're plugged into other places, they're more likely to come back to our Sunday school class. Or they're more likely to come to any Sunday school class. I'm OCD Sunday school support. The churches today, there's a ton of them out there that have no Sunday school. They're small group based. And I don't know why these pastors don't understand, but percentage-wise, you can have 1,000 in church, but you'll only have 200-300 in a small group. But you have 1,000 in church, you'll have 1,000 in Sunday school for Sunday school-based churches. It is still, to me, the best way to reach people. Because it's a place where you're going to build a family. Church is very, you're just sitting there and you're hearing it. Like, oh, I don't know all these people around, I'm just hearing it. But Sunday school is where you hear each other's stories. You hear each other's lives and you build community. But for some Sunday school classes that people have visited, they didn't feel like they had community. They didn't feel like anybody cared about them. Nobody called them. Nobody checked on them. Nobody to see if anything's wrong. They go, my mother, in her own church, she said, I haven't gone for 2 weeks. No one's even called me. Why did it take 2 weeks for somebody to call somebody? Well, a lot of us are, well, they're probably busy. You know, if they need us, they'll let us know. Really? How long does it take to text somebody, to email somebody, just to say, hey, we're thinking about you? I don't have to get in your business. I don't have to know all your junk. Some of you, I wish you wouldn't. You know, some of you need to leave some of the junk at home. Right? Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. So we've established the need for folks to connect, to be connected to more than one person, more than one area, but sometimes they don't come back to even get to that point. How can I even get to know them? They don't even come back to begin with. So here's the number one reason why people visit a church, an LBS, and do not come back. They don't belong. They feel they don't belong. Romans 12:5 says, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. If we're one body, then why do they feel that way? Why do they walk in? What do you guys say? Why do people walk in and they don't feel they belong? You're young. You can tell me. What do you think?
No one talks to them.
Nobody what?
Talks to them.
Nobody talks to them.
Nobody goes beyond hello, I'm. Mm-hmm.
So don't even do that?
Yeah. But when they do, if that's it, that's not enough.
It's not enough. What were you going to say?
I was going to say that I think they come in because they're looking for something, but they don't come back because they give up too fast.
They think they're the only one going through what they're going through.
Ah.
The well-established circles seem intimidating to try to break into.
There's those holy huddles again. And understand, I'm going to get to you. There's Peter, James, and John. I mean, Jesus talks about the holy huddles. He had a holy huddle. There's a value to those 2-3 people that hold you accountable and love on you, and they're there, and they're with you at the hospital when your mom is sick, and they're here listening to you, and you gotta help me, man. I'm gonna do something I shouldn't do. But in church, when we got new people coming in, that's not where your holy huddle should be. You gotta be really careful. You can have that outside the church. You can have that on the way to lunch. But while you're in church, people walking in the door, you need to be open, not closed. Over here.
Well, I went to 8 o'clock class that I attend, and you know, the visitors get there between 5 after or 10 after. Mm-hmm. The lesson was supposed to have started at 8, so there's not a lot of time.
Yeah. So you're saying they don't come back because there's...
I don't know.
We don't get to know them because they come in.
They didn't give us an opportunity.
Didn't give you an opportunity, yeah. So does it mean that maybe, you know, if they do fill out something, okay? You know, I like doing what's called shadowing. And what I do is if, you know, we first of all, we don't leave the front seats for the new people. Right? You want to go walk down? I'll walk down the front. But there's not a whole lot of people like me, right? So most people come in, new people are going to be really early, or they're going to be really late. They're hoping nobody will notice. And they go in and they look and they go, there's everything's in front. So if you have some space in the back and you have somebody waiting for them in the back to come beside them and say, hey, let me let you fill out our information. Is this your first time? It is so glad to meet you. I'm Susie Q. How are you? Like, if you fill this out and like, hey, can I give you a call tomorrow? Are you available? I can give you a call. Right away, I'll be like, whoa. But if I've got to come in and nobody comes up to me, nobody talks to me because I'm late. But in knowing that you're going to have some people late, you need to have a plan. You got to kind of, we almost have to not change the word, but we have to mold to the climate of what our environment is now. That's what people are doing. They're running late all the time. Then guess what? We're going to meet them where they are. Or you change Sunday school around. You put the things at the beginning that are not as important. You don't start your lesson. I'm a big thing. Start on time, end on time. Okay? Of course, I couldn't start on time because they went over earlier. That's their fault, right? But I'm going to try my best to end on time for you guys, okay? So I do respect. I don't bless people, reward people for being late by punishing people who are on time. Okay? But knowing that it is a guest, not a visitor, a guest, I do want to realize maybe they couldn't find it. You know, it's just a little place here. You know, they couldn't find a parking spot. Okay? So if you know they're going to be late, then there's some people that are chronic late people, and that's a whole other story. Yes. Right? I always tell people, hey, you're always running late. I got a solution. Leave earlier. Okay? When you're running late all the time, you're disrespecting me and you say, I don't care about the person that I'm trying to be on time for. That's one other thing. But just guess for the first time, if you know that's going to happen. So in the beginning is when maybe you have your snack and your coffee. In the beginning is where you maybe listen to your prayer requests that are more personal with the group. And then start teaching 15 minutes later. Just, I would change it around to be more focused on your guest without ignoring your attendees. That would be, I would do whatever I got to do. Especially if you're seeing they don't come back. Then they'd be like, oh, maybe we need to change them. Just thought. So most churches encourage us to join their church ministry. You ever notice that? So I brought this lovely belt, and I have to just tell you something. Y'all, none of y'all, some of you know me, some of you don't. But a year ago, I weighed 110 pounds more. Ooh. And I used to do this with this. Wow. I wore this in college. And now, it's too big. And I don't know why I saved it. But, you know, it was hot back then. I thought it might be hot coming back. So I thought it was a good thing to explain. So just imagine that our churches are like this chain. And we want people to join. So we say, come and join. Come and join. And, yeah, I can join, and I'm attached. But the only way I'm really going to belong, this is the difference, is when I actually become a part of the group. And I think that's the difference in our ministries. I think we're so big on, join us. And join us is like saying you're a visitor. A visitor doesn't stay. A guest stays. When you have a guest in your home, they sit, they have dinner with you, they stay, you give them a bed to sleep in, they're your guest. If they're a visitor, they might not even get past the front door. So much of our Sunday school class are the same way. We look at them as join our class instead of belong to our class. Well, what's the difference? Figure that out for your class. How do I help them belong? So here's a scripture here. Well, I think I've got one that's coming up. Oh, let me read this. What's the difference between joining and belonging? People don't care. We know this. How much you know until they know how much you care, right? So here's some steps in connecting people so they belong. You got to know who you are. Who are you as a Sunday school class? What is your vision? What are your goals? What are you hoping to do? What are you hoping to achieve? Do I know that as a person who's there for the first time? Do I know about your class and what makes you different? You know, why should I be along to this class? What's going to keep me from getting up and going to the next person's class? What is special about you guys? Is it because you come in and give someone a hug? People need hugs. They do. People need touch. Appropriate touch. They need eye contact. I have this great thing that I do with leaders is I pair them up. One has to lead, one has to follow, and they have to mimic the other person. Right? And it's an experiment in listening and watching and looking at eye contact to see if they can follow the steps. If you go too fast, a person can't follow. If you go too slow, they get bored. Mm-hmm. And the experiment is, can you follow that leader and be led, but can the leader teach you by leading you? It's a great experiment. The same thing in here. What is going to make a difference in your class, everybody else's? Is you're the class that's known to help people? Is you're the class that's known to go out into the community and pick up trash? Is you're the class that is known to be part of your class goes down and greets in front of the church unofficially? I believe you should unofficially greet. You ain't got to be no Greek team. Look at me. I was greeting here. I don't even go here. Right? I'll give you some head there. You go downstairs, wear the little head things. I mean, just greet people, love on people. Look for people that are like this. And talk to them. How you doing? You can go in pairs if you feel like you're more safer in pairs. But just reaching out, you'll make the biggest difference. Like, man, my Sunday school class is so awesome. We're big on greeting people and loving on people and taking them around. Every week, we take at least one of our guests to lunch. Every single week. And we all put money in the kitty and we all pay for their lunch. That tells somebody you really care. You really care if you call them right after they get home. Or text them. You youngins. It makes a difference. I used to go to this church that actually, before you got home on Sunday morning, somebody had left a message on your voicemail. You're like, how'd they do that? They're fast. But guess what? No other church was doing that. We separate ourselves from all the other churches in the city to say that we cared enough about you, that we remembered you. I used to greet for many, many years at my old church, and I noticed this guy that I was learning how to greet from. He used to keep a little notepad in his pocket, and he'd meet you and go, blue sweater, wearing, I can't read that, something town, right? And then he'd help you go to find a class, and then you'd come out and go, well, Megan, so what'd you think? And you go, oh, how did he remember? Because he wrote it out. It helped him. He was an old guy. I couldn't remember everything. But it's amazing how many, he maybe didn't remember every person, but all I had to do was remember a few. And it made a difference. So I learned from him, and I started watching. I started writing down notes to remember people. Or say, how are you doing? Oh, I'm running a little bit late today. My mama was sick. Oh, I'm so sorry about your mama. Next week, mama was sick. Next week when they come, they're running late because they always run late. How's your mama doing? You talking to me? Yeah, how's your mama doing? Just start taking notes. They don't have to know that. But I'll tell you what, it'll bring people back just like that because they're like, wow, remember, I feel like I'm supposed to be here. I can double the size of church just by greeting. I can double the size of your Sunday school class by greeting. I might have to grab a few from some other classes, but I can double it. Galatians 6:10 says, therefore, we have an opportunity. Let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. You need to be intentional about what you're doing. You should want to reach people, right? In your community, in your church, in your LBS. I mean, sorry, Lord. Do you help people feel valuable to your class? Do they feel valuable when they come to the class? Do your people feel and know they're welcome by greeting them, having information for them, following up with them? Do they feel safe? I did this thing years ago in a church called Take Five. Candy bars have come out. I don't know if you remember the candy bars. Take five, they're out, back out again. Good candy bars. I love chocolate, sugar. And so I wrote this thing where basically we're going to different churches. We're saying, okay, I know it's hard to remember to talk to people, to talk to strangers. It's just in my blood. I just can't help to talk to people. But I know it's not everybody that can't do it. So why don't you remember this thing? I want you to remember take five. Just take five. I want you to take 5 minutes on Sunday morning and talk to five people you don't know. 1 minute for each person. Or talk to one person for 5 minutes. And so that in Sunday morning, it gets you into the habit of going, you know what, I can talk to somebody as we walk into church. That counts as one. How you doing? I'm doing good. I like them shoes. Woo, okay. So women, see, it's easy for us. Well, you guys, you compliment on guys' shoes, you think you're a little weird, okay? But girls, we compliment on everything, right? It's easy for us to compliment. So just pick women. Don't pick men to compliment, you know? Or talk to you or whatever. Like, hey, how's that football? You know, whatever you guys do. I don't know what to do. You know? So then you're like, the second person might be somebody standing there getting coffee. Like, hey, yeah, I like coffee too. Yeah, you like coffee? Yeah, I like coffee. Okay, that was 13 seconds. Okay, how much more? I got 45 seconds. I don't know. But if you make it a habit every single Sunday, I'm going to talk to five people that I don't know, even if it's just to say hello, we're glad you're here, I hope you're having a good morning. I was flying today on Delta, and I think Delta's trying to improve their customer service. This lady walks down the aisle, she goes, I just want to thank you for flying Delta. Thank you for flying Delta. We appreciate your business. I'm like, it was kind of, sounded kind of sincere, but I think they're probably pushing a PR, like, you need to start telling people that we appreciate their business because we're losing business. What a concept. The same in the church. We're losing them. Some are not even here, right? But we've got some that come. We didn't even have to go get them. And we're ignoring them. Or they come to our class and you're like, I think she was here last week. I don't know. We're going to talk to her. I'm not going to talk to her. You talk to her. I'm not going to talk to her. Mm. Or did you call a person that was new last week? Oh, was I supposed to call her? No, you're supposed to call her. Well, I call and left the message. Oh, that works. Yeah, I'm going to tell you what, I call today, they tell me to stop calling. I'll say, listen, we'd love to have you come back. Got your voicemail again, this is Chris, and we just appreciate you being at the church. I don't know, maybe you've already found another church that you like, or you know, but you know you're welcome at our church, and unless you let me know that you've gone elsewhere, I'm probably going to keep calling. So if you would just let me know, that'd be great, you know. I mean, I'll do whatever it takes, but to me, some people need more than one phone call or one more email, more than one touch. Mm-hmm. But some of us, we give up after that one time. Are you asking the right questions to get to know them better so you can help them along? Do you know their setting? Do you know their story? Do you know their background? Where they went to church before? How they served the Lord? Are they a leader, a follower? What's their family like? Their work, their relationships? The more you know about them and vice versa, the more you're going to help them along. And when they belong, the ministry, your Sunday school class is going to grow in all different ways. Your LBS becomes valuable to them. It becomes their community. You need to be consistent in your efforts. You can't give up. Oh, my goodness, you can't give up on people, guys. It's an ongoing effort to give out your information on your ministry or on your Sunday school class, giving out business cards, your material, curriculum as well, people who aren't there, emailing the curriculum, the things that you guys assign, whatever, to stay connected to them. You got to keep doing it. God tells you to release your relationship from that person. You got to keep doing it. I don't think we're very good at follow-up anywhere. I think as a nation, all Christians are not good at discipleship, and we're not good at follow-up. So tell me some of the struggles that you've seen regarding that area in your LBSs. With follow-up.
We're just not.
Why do you think you're not?
I think we've become complacent. Mm-hmm. I used to, and I can say that from making phone calls years ago, when I would be the one that would be calling, I developed many relationships with people. But I cannot tell you how many times I would just be calling a cold list and saying, I just want to know that you have visited us before. Maybe it was just the church.
Right.
And I would just like to invite you to come back and see us again. And they'll say, you know, I've been gone for 6 months and you're the first person to call me.
And by that time, a lot of times they're not going to come back because it's been six months and they're just thinking, you've got to be kidding me.
Right. So I find myself having to apologize for my not calling, you know, and that is what happened to them, and ask that they would give us another chance.
Yeah.
You know.
So as soon as people are guests in your Sunday school classes, are you guys have a method that you're calling them, emailing them? You guys have a method?
That's our job. To
so your job?
To reach out to the new people.
So as soon as they were there that day, you do it? Or that week? Or
sometime throughout that week.
Throughout that week? So you text them or email them or what?
Typically text them, yeah.
And how's the response been?
50-50.
Do you prefer, you say your generation prefers the text than a phone call?
Yeah.
You think that's warm enough? I'm just curious. I mean, you know, I like hearing a voice, but I know from a standpoint of like, hey, this is going on, that's going on, or hey, there's a sale, you know, whatever. Texting's great, but from the standpoint of physically touching someone, it would sound like, you know, to hear their voice would be, have a little bit better return. I was just thinking. Wait a minute, over here first. Yes, sir.
When I come, somebody comes in, you get their names, phone numbers, they fill out a card and all of that, make them a name tag, and in the beginning of it, we introduce all the guests. We introduce them and have to encourage the class to get to know them, introduce themselves to them, that sort of thing. And then that night, I will call them, and then I'll also send a text to their phone number.
So you do both. Yeah, just that extra touch. Because you're finding it's working?
Within 24 hours. Hopefully within 24 hours, we do it. Yes.
Okay, over here next.
We have Table Host, which has been the biggest, I think, growth opportunity.
Okay.
And what we have is already pre-prepped cards ready to go. So all they have to do is, you know, hey, Joyce, it was great meeting you today. I'm praying for your mom. And so the table host of that table is writing that note. I take that note afterwards and just write their address on it, and I send it in the mail that same day. And then we have our rogue person and our teacher connect with them throughout that week.
Wow.
And that has been the most successful that we've had in retaining.
So let's just, before we go over here, so let's just look at these two examples. I'm not excluding you guys, because you guys are younger, and you're, you know, younger people think in a different way today than the older ones do, but yours is, you're doing double things. You're doing the text for those who do text, but you're also making the phone call for those who prefer phone call. Because older generation, some do, some don't, right? My mom just learned how to text. Now I can't get her to stop texting. Okay? But you give them a name tag and make them feel they belong right away by giving them a name tag.
And the next, I print out a permanent name tag for them, and it's on the board for them.
So they feel like they belong already versus the peel and stick and everybody else has got the permanent one. Like, oh, thank you. I'm just the peel and stick. But it's just a little extra, right? A little extra step there. And then in your case, you're finding out something personal about it, and you're already making the connection back to them because you're the first person, and you don't have to wait 6 months.
Well, and then you also have the people at the table. So we've got the core, obviously, leadership. And then you have the people who are there anyway, and they're on time. And so I'm making that person feel very connected because they have a job at the table. And then I feel overwhelmed by the thousands of notes that I have to write quickly on Sunday or Monday afternoon.
Do you remember care groups?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's what a care group did.
Mm-hmm.
That was the person in charge of the care group, so nobody would fall through the cracks. That's the problem. They fall through the cracks. And I'm saying, guys, it's one thing to go witness to the person at the dry cleaner or go witness to the person at the gas station. We need to be doing that. We need to be inviting them. We need to have business cards to give out or our church bulletin or our phone number. I have business cards on the back. It has a place to put your name so you can invite the waitress. You know, we need those things. But we're talking about people that are coming here. We didn't have to go get anybody. And yet we're not doing as good of a job as we can. So if you don't jump on it right then, in the next week, that day, that week as well, if you don't jump on it, then they fall through the cracks, right? If you know it, it's been 2 weeks, then 3 weeks, and then you just don't even call it off.
We also have a system here through our outreach, and each week click on it and it'll tell you been missing 2 weeks, been missing 4 weeks, been missing 6 weeks, and you just pull those names down and make another contact.
And we're going to talk about some of the other reasons, because of time-wise, we can't. In the third talk, we're going to talk about how to deal with awkward or difficult people, because those are some of the reasons we don't want them to come back. And we're not totally upset when they don't come back. We're like, why can't those not come back, and the other ones we want to come back? And Mark 9:41 says, I tell you the truth, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to Christ will certainly not lose his reward. We want people to feel they belong, even if this is not the place they need to be. What I love about, I don't know, is your group that I came and spoke at with a few months ago, where you guys do the birthday cards? Is it your group? Who does the birthday cards? Your group does birthday cards. That's phenomenal. You know, I mean, this is something we used to do in my generation, and younger people typically don't do it, but to send out a birthday card to someone, handwritten, that's just, again, I'm just saying, people like, oh, we don't do with texting. no one gets anything handwritten anymore in the mail, ever. So to get something, you're doing something that they're not expecting, it will maybe make them go, this is cool. This is something different. And it's made a difference in the return in your class, has it not? Your group, yeah. You need to be strategic in your approach to connecting with people. Plan by praying first. Are we praying about our guests? Are we praying for God to bring people in our classroom? Are we praying that when they get here that we reach out to them? Are we praying that we're going to find something in common with them? If we find something in common, can we go and talk to them a little more? When I find out someone's a single mom, I'm going to put them with another single mom. If I find that they like football, I'm going to put them with someone who likes football. If they work at a certain place, I'm going to connect them there. My goal, I love to network people. Because if I can put that on you, and you're one of the regulars, then you should know that should be code for talk to them. Find out something about them. Find out something about them so much to where they feel you're interested enough, genuinely, they have a connection, and they want to come back. But how are you going to know if you don't know who's in your class and you don't know enough about them to be able to connect people? So that means you got to have some of those personal holy huddles. You got to know the people in your class, your leaders, so that you can connect people. So a lot of times we come even to Sunday school and we just sit and listen, except for our little group, and we really don't know people. Maybe you should make it I know you have the same host, but maybe you should make it a requirement or a request that everybody moves every week and doesn't sit in the same place as everyone.
Oh my goodness.
I love to go into little old people's churches and just sit in that spot that you know it's an old lady's spot. And she's like, excuse me, that's my seat. I said, thank you for letting me sit here. That's so kind of you. My mother's one of those people. Pray about who to reach. Say, she's been sitting in the same spot for 30 years. Two different churches, same spot. Pray about who you're going to reach in general and how. Pray about your methods and ideas. Pray about specific people that you're trying to reach by name. Pray for them by name. So when you're going down these lists of guests, praying for them by name and saying, Lord, I pray that Susie Q comes back. We've sent her a text. We've given her a phone call. We've sent her a birthday card. We've sent her a thank you card. Thanks for coming. We've done these things. Pray by name until you see results. But I don't think we're praying either. We're hoping. We're hoping, but we're not really praying. Recently, when I was on the way down to Florida, I took an Uber, my first Uber in America. And I liked it. It was a lot better than a taxi. And I was on my way, and I met this guy, Dan, and he believed all kinds of ways to get to Jesus. All kinds of ways to get to God besides Jesus. We had a great conversation. And, you know, the thing is that I knew that when I took the Uber that God was going to line up something. I mean, everywhere I go, there's a conversation somewhere. And to be able to chance to talk to him and hear his story, hear his life, because we got in traffic. We were in traffic an hour before we could get to the hotel. I'm like, you know I'm going to talk. And so the chance to be able, so now we're Facebook friends. And I said, you know what, I'll answer any questions that you have about the Bible. Then we took a shuttle over to another restaurant that night, and I got to meet Oscar, a 30-some-year-old kid, and I said, hey, Oscar, do you believe in Jesus as your Savior? Oh, yes, yes. Good, good. I said, well, do you know if you die tonight, where you go? Oh, yes, yes, I go to heaven. Yeah, yeah. Okay, that's good, that's good. You're in church? Oh, no, I can go to church a long time. Well, let's talk a little more then. So I'm talking the whole time. We're in traffic. Everybody's just listening to me, you know. And he just had this whole idea that he good enough is good enough. I'm a good kid. So we got a chance to talk to him. And he knew that I cared because I took the time to talk to him. I mean, I'm not always the closer. Sometimes I'm just a part of the process. Amen? Mm-hmm. I believe in what's called a God incident. Well, the favorite God incident, I was at the pool at a friend's house 2 days ago. And I go, got in the hot tub. And there's this chick. I'm like, okay. How you doing? I said, you look like the girl that I saw at the front gate. No, it's not me. I said, well, you look a lot like her. She goes, yeah. She goes, actually, I'm here on holiday. I live in Italy. I'm a singer in Italy. I'm like, really? We started talking. She goes, yeah, but I'm getting kind of frustrated. I've been there for 4 years, and I got a great boyfriend. I make a lot of money. And she goes, but I'm just, you know, I'm just something's not right. I'm just hungry. I said, uh-huh. You're hungry, ain't you? Uh-huh. I said, well... She goes, what are you doing here? And I said, well, I'm in ministry. She goes, man, all this way, in the middle of nowhere, in a pool, and God has to send you. She's like, how did that happen? She goes, my uncle's a pastor. He's been on me for years. So I'm like, well, honey, I'm just going to be a part of the list, you know. So we're Facebook friends, too, now. Oh, I do. Be genuine. Find out something about them to where they feel like you really care about them. I haven't had lunch with any of them yet. I'm Facebook friends with all of them. I'm working on that. That's the next step. John 8:47 says, he who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is you don't belong to God. So here's just a little list of things. You guys can read this on your own. Basic ways we reach people in our community. Ways that we connect within the church. Things, different creative ways we can do. Asking those open-ended questions. Following up really quickly. Some of the things you guys are already doing. Creative ways of following up. Everything from the personal postcards, the birthday cards you're doing, giving them a pounding. That's an old-fashioned. Hey, who remembers what a pounding is? Oh, yeah, we got to give that thing away, don't we? You remember a pounding? Yeah, I'm recording. Tell these young people what a pounding is.
Pound this and a pound that.
Newlyweds, you come together, you give them a pound of this, that, a pound of dog food for the dogs or whatever.
Yeah, a pound of sugar, a pound of flour, people that are new. Yeah, you guys are like, what? I don't want to go to their house. Yeah, that would be weird. Nowadays, somebody comes to my house, I better know who you are. You better be nobody to show up in my house.
It wouldn't work today because nobody cooks.
No, well, that's true. They're like, but this lady from church brought me some flour and sugar. What else does it do with it?
Yeah,
that'd be probably me too. Here's another thing too, and this the responsibility. It's not just one person's responsibility in your class. We're all responsible to reach out to those that are new. Those are our guests, right? It's not just one person. And sometimes it's good to cheer it. So if you've been calling a guy and he's not responding, maybe have a different guy call him or text him or a different girl text him. Change it up because maybe the person that's corresponding with them is not the one they really are going to relate to. And then repeat. Continuously train people and develop leaders and how to involve others. Model the behavior till they imitate you. And what about those who aren't connecting real quick? They came a couple times, they didn't come back. This is some questions. Have you spent time with them personally? Take them to coffee, meet them at church, talk on the phone. Hey, how about if I come and get you? Hey, how about if I show up at the front, we'll have coffee dinner. Be prepared to ask them why they're not involved. Why didn't you come back? Man, you're okay. Why didn't you come back? Oh, no, I'm gonna come back, I've just been out of town. Okay. Sometimes it's something personal. Sometimes it's because they weren't asked. Find out if you can help them get connected by asking for their help in a particular area. I love this. I love to do what's called voluntold. I will voluntell you to do something. Mm-hmm. See, Megan doesn't know me, but I'm getting to know her really well. And I would say, hey, Megan, I'm so glad that you came today. Would you do me a favor? Would you help clean up this table when we get ready to close? Okay. Now she's going to do two things. She's going to say, oh, I'm sorry, I got to go get my kid. Or I'm sorry, you know, I got to go, I got to go to work. I go, okay, next time, okay. And that may be legit, but most of the time, it's like, sure. They just want to belong. Mm-hmm. They want something to do. They want somebody to need them. So the worst thing they're going to do is reject and say, no, I'm sorry, I can't. But most of them will say, sure, I can do that. They go, oh, you did a good job. You come here next week. We really could use some help with this. Really? You need some help? Yeah. Volunteer. That's the first level before volunteer. Mm-hmm. Volunteer is somebody that regularly helps. Voluntold is what you told somebody to do at that moment. In my particular ministry, somebody got upset I was out of town for a while, and they stopped putting little things on all the chairs. Like I put little cards and business cards and candies and whatever. I said, Chris, we're tired of picking it all up at the end of the night. And I said, do you not know why I do that? Well, one, if one person took a business card, it was worth it. But the reason I do that is to give somebody a job. That's new in our ministry. Anybody can put out cards and take them up. You have to have 3 brain cells, you can do that. But it gives somebody who's new, who's not in a position of authority, something to do. And they feel belonged. Because you expect that you're looking for them to do it. I'm going to say, I have no problem getting volunteers. I have no problem getting leaders. And I have no problem getting men leaders. Because I pray them in. I'm going to tell you, people like, oh, we just don't have enough men in church. Mm-hmm, you ain't praying enough. That ain't got a problem. Pray, man. Spiritual warfare, guys. Mm-hmm. Just look what the enemy wants to do in your class. He doesn't want your classes to grow. He doesn't want our personal response. He doesn't want you to get old. You're texting somebody. You might be texting somebody else. You don't even know who you're texting because they wrote down their number wrong. You don't know. But you've given up. But yeah, their address is there. You could have sent a card. Just a thought. Ask them if they've taken a spiritual gift test. That might be after a gnome a little bit. Pray with them. Creates a level of intimacy and accountability. Follow up with them on the things you talked about. Affirm positive behaviors such as thank you for coming. Thank you for being on time. Thank you for getting involved. And if they're still not involved, they continue to be sporadic, wait on God to release you and let them go. Move on to the ones that are coming. Because I ain't got time. You know, if I've done my job and they still choose not to come, they won't open up, they won't tell me what's going on, then I have to release them. Can't worry about it. And finally, I've got some homework there for you. You see it? You guys can take that back in your LBS and discuss it. I put some Starburst on your table here because it's sticky. Right? And the whole point of Sunday school, and I say Sunday school, I know it's called LBS. Every time I say LBS, I think of pounds. So it's hard for me to call it LBS. But it's sticky, and the whole point is for us to be sticky. When people come in, they leave and there's something, you know? It's like duct tape. You ever put duct tape together and try to pull it apart? You
can't do it.
You can't do it. And if you pull it apart, some of that goes on this side and some of this goes on this side. Somebody used that to represent marriage as well. You never leave a marriage completely the way you were when you entered it. Well, you know what? We want our relationships here to be the same way. We want people to leave and they feel like they've left something and it makes them want to come back. Amen? Before I want to close the prayer, because I surely didn't open in prayer, there's junk on your tables. You can take some stuff on your tables. We have to give out one real quick door prize. Yes? And you know how this works, guys?
Do you guys know how this works? You just put your name on this, first and last name, and your phone number, and you take it down to the circle booth right by the gym, and you'll hand it to them, and they'll exchange it for a gift card.
So the person, I want to give it to the person who came the farthest. Who came more than 20 miles? Nobody came more than 20 miles? Oh, then we're going to all be competing.
I drove in from Austin. Does that matter? That counts.
That's it.
Yeah, I live close.
Okay, who brought people with them? How many people did you bring? One? Anybody bring more than one?
He brought nine. Heard it.
You win. There you go. Thank you for bringing nine people. That's
congratulations.
Awesome.
Congratulations. Thank you.
Very good. Very good. I wish we had more time, guys. There's so much. But I did want to challenge you with this. Stand up for me real quick. And can you tell me, without looking at their arms, the name of somebody that you met and what color rubber bands they were wearing? Or what you had in common? Can you tell me?
Aaron, and he likes computers.
Good.
And then, but also that he was in football, and how he got connected was that he looked for the guys that were, they were all wearing the same jerseys, but he was looking for those guys in school to kind of hang out with them.
Awesome. Who else remembers? Yes.
David, he had green, he likes to hunt and fish, and he's from Central Florida.
Awesome. I love it. Okay, who else remembers? A person. Anybody else remember? Only two of you? Now you see the problem here? This was less than her, Gus. So just think of Sunday school. You meet somebody, you ask them something you can't remember. We got some work to do, don't we?
Yes.
Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for this very short lesson on how we can connect better and keep people. And Lord, how we can become sticky, how we can help people belong. And by loving on them and caring about them and taking that extra step and finding out more about them and making the phone calls and the texts and not giving up until, Lord, you release us from them. That, Lord, there are so many that come every Sunday and they just kind of lost. They're waiting for someone to want them to be here. And, Lord, we know there's some that come their hand out and there's the ones we always can't, you know, they're always there for the wrong reasons. But, Lord, they're there for the right reasons. And maybe they haven't been in church a long time. And they need someone to care. So, Lord, I pray that each one here would maybe take that next step. They would talk to five people on Sunday that they don't know, or one person for 5 minutes that they don't know, and make the effort so that by this time next week, there's one more in each of these Sunday school classes. We ask this in your son's name. Amen.
Yeah.
Woohoo! Did you learn anything?
Yes.
Yes, thank you.
I learned two words. They're awful quiet.